R-I-T-Z.
This show furnished by Coast Psychological Services.
How well do you understand your own psychology? Are you satisfied with your relationships? Curious about how you became who you are and why you react the way you do? Well, take a seat on the couch with Dr. Liana, a licensed clinical psychologist, and Margaret, a trained psychotherapist, is a show about the psychology and biology of our human existence. Combining psychological research, clinical expertise, and personal life experience, Dr. Liana and Margaret get you thinking about living consciously and making positive changes in your life. Now get ready for a dose of Dr. Radio. It's On the Couch with Dr. Liana and Margaret.
Hello out there, and welcome to On the Couch with Dr. Liana and Margaret. This is a show about psychology. We hope that you listen tonight because we have a really important topic. Is procrastination impacting your mental well-being? Is it interfering with your success, your life? Are you finding yourself feeling guilty or shame or depressed or not able to achieve your goals because you tend to procrastinate? Well, don't fret. And actually, please don't fret and don't beat yourself up because that actually makes procrastination worse. So in this hour, we're going to be talking to you about why you procrastinate, how you can understand your procrastination better so that you can start making some changes and feel more satisfied with your sense of accomplishment. First, let me welcome our co-host for the evening, Margaret. Hi there. How are you doing on this lovely Friday night?
I'm doing well. There are a lot of things I still need to do, but I have to do this radio show. It's so important.
Margaret, and we like to tell on ourselves sometimes on this show, and I will say I was also 5 minutes late myself.
But we're in LA, so that's traffic, right?
Yeah, of course it is. That's traffic. So, Margaret, procrastination, you and I both know the devastating effects and consequences of procrastination on our self-esteem, on our self-worth, on our productivity, on our happiness. And we have talked a lot on this show about creativity. We've talked a lot on this show about self-discipline. We talk about these things every week. And I was, have you heard of the organizational psychologist Adam Grant?
I have not.
Yes. Well, he did an interesting TED Talk, right? And he's written a book called How the Nonconformist How Nonconformity or something can help promote creativity. And
I think I have heard of this.
Yes. Yeah. It's a really, really interesting idea. And there's a TED Talk on it, actually, about his book. And he ascertains that procrastination may be actually more of a creative process or creative for people than non-procrastinators because they're allowing their ideas to flow. And this is an interesting discussion because there's a lot of creative people who support that hypothesis. But when we look at the research and actually look to see whether this is indeed the case, we don't have a whole lot of scientific validation for this argument. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah, well, my thoughts are, of course, I'm a romantic person. I like the idea of the artist, you know, staying up all night for days, unable to produce anything, and then they're struck by some vision and genius 1 hour before their, you know, project is going to go before the public, and they do this amazing thing. And there are stories of that happening, and they're really great stories. But for most people, again, like you were saying, research usually doesn't favor the procrastinator and how productive they are, the quality of their work, and how they feel about themselves.
Yeah.
And the quality of their life. Procrastination really, I mean, I'm thinking about it a lot now since we're doing this topic, and I'm thinking about two phone calls in particular I've been putting off for probably about a month now.
Mm-hmm.
And how much time the last month I've spent feeling worried and like stressed out and thinking about the phone calls. And in the amount of time I've spent worrying about them, I probably could have made them at least 45 times.
Yes, it ends up prolonging and perpetuating the struggle. I first want to spend a bit more time, though, talking about the distinction between pausing and allowing yourself to have a creative experience, right, versus actual procrastination.
Yeah.
So what we see when we look at the research is that procrastination does not actually tend, the statistics just don't support that. It does not promote creative thought. In fact, it has the opposite effect. It causes pressure. Mm-hmm. And it causes anxiety and it causes stress, which we do have evidence inhibits the creative process.
Yeah.
But how many times have you heard people say, oh, I do my best work under pressure?
Yeah, a lot of times. I've heard a lot of people say that. And, you know, I think as much as we tell ourselves that, it's just not true. I think sometimes it takes a lot of pressure to get us to do the work because we don't want to do it. But back to what you were saying about the difference between taking a break too, or resting the brain versus procrastinating, that they're very different things, and we do need breaks, and it's important to take breaks, but that's not the same as spending, you know, taking a break and really resting your mind. I'm sure we'll talk about this more later, is not the same as, you know, intentionally distracting yourself from something you're avoiding or don't want to do.
That's exactly right. And that distinction is key. Taking time to pause and to maybe reflect more on what your creative pursuit is not a bad idea. But that is very different than something creating distress and something causing problem for you that you're trying to avoid. And I think that you said that very perfectly. So to sum it up, what is procrastination? Procrastination is putting off something that you know that you need to do and being aware of the consequence of not doing it, knowing mm-hmm. that there is a consequence to not getting the task done, but despite that consequence, continuing to put it off.
Yeah. I think we all do that. Or we don't want to look at the consequence, or we tell ourselves the consequence isn't really that bad or it doesn't matter. But there's so, I mean, procrastination, it's really interesting how many reasons there are we procrastinate.
So many different reasons that we procrastinate. It's this putting off despite knowing that you will be worse off. And mm-hmm. look, up to 90% of the population procrastinates. It's a common behavior, but there's also a difference between procrastinating every so often versus what we're going to be kind of focusing more on today, which is the concept of chronic procrastination. And somebody who is a chronic procrastinator. And we see that this impacts about 20% of the population. And mm-hmm. it can just be debilitating.
Yeah. It can affect your relationships, your job, your quality of life, how you feel about yourself, even your emotional state.
It affects so many things. And people who come into my office to work with me on this experience a lot of shame, a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, feeling overwhelmed, and it starts to impact people's self-esteem and self-concept. So the results or the effects of chronic procrastination can be quite significant, quite severe. And if you're identifying with this out there, listen up, because we're going to help you understand why you procrastinate and begin to gather the information that you need to change this. We see that people who procrastinate are less likely to achieve their goals, feel fulfilled by their work, feel good about themselves. So this lends the question, why do we do this? If we know that procrastination does not help us with creativity, if we know that working under pressure does not actually help us think our best and prepare and do our best work, why do we procrastinate? What's going on?
Well, there are so many reasons, right? A lot of them, so there are different theories too. One of them is the willpower theory, that you're just lazy and you don't want to do your work and you'd rather have fun. But that's not really what procrastination really is. It can be a lot of different things, from maybe you're a perfectionist and you're worried you're not going to be able to do a good job, or you have your standards so high that you're really terrified to begin, so you avoid the task because you think you'll fail anyway. That can be one reason people procrastinate. Another one is they want to avoid the boredom, or you want to avoid being uncomfortable, or avoid doing this task you don't want to do in favor of doing something you would prefer to do now. And there's something to be said for that too, because, you know, we do need to take breaks. We do need to recharge our minds. But when you're on Facebook for 3 hours, that's not recharging your mind mm-hmm. in the form of a break.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So I think you're getting to the key mechanisms behind this. And there's several different reasons that people procrastinate. And we've done this research to try and understand whether this is an impulse control issue, mm-hmm. right? Someone who is procrastinating lacks the self-discipline or the self-regulation necessary necessary, right, to move forward through an unpleasant task.
Yeah.
We've also had some theories that this has to do with deficits in executive functioning. This refers to the part of the brain, for all of you who don't know this, that is involved in planning and preparing and making associations between events and their outcomes, between impulse control. And we see that people who have problems with executive functioning, such as someone who gets easily distracted or someone with ADHD, that it really can be a neurophysiological component to this.
It can be. That's kind of one of the neurological ways of looking at another one, too, I think, is a lot of times people don't really believe, you know, coming back to self-esteem, that they deserve to achieve or they deserve to do well. You know, we always hear people talking about self-fulfilling prophecies. I think procrastination can be a way of self-sabotage, I mean, of sabotaging oneself so you don't achieve or you don't get what you really feel like you want in your life. So I think it can, I feel like I always say this, I think it can be different for everyone.
Yeah, well, it is. And I think it usually falls into these few general categories. And we're going to be talking about those categories and more coming up and taking your calls on your issues with procrastination. All of that coming up next on the next hour of On the Couch.
Where do you get the best soul food in town? I mean the best. I mean licking your plate clean, licking your fingers off. It's Doolin's on Crenshaw. Doolin's on Crenshaw, just south of Stocker. This is exquisite. This is Southern cooking at its very best. Southern cooking is the essence of home cooking. It's the essence of comfort food. It's the essence of patting your tummy and going, that was good, especially when you eat the mouth-watering fried chicken. Their fried chicken is something to dream about. It is just perfect. The skin, the crust, the spices, the herbs. God, it's good. The chicken inside is so moist. It's wonderful. Try the oxtails, the short ribs, the macaroni and cheese. Oh, it's for all your catering needs, for all your dining needs. They have their own catering hall in the back of the restaurant, behind the restaurant. They will come to your house and set everything up. They will feed you so well. This is food you dream about. Doolin's on Crenshaw. And by the way, excellent customer service. The people at the counter are the best. At Doolin's on Crenshaw, just south of Stocker.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Cars, trucks, motorcycles. If it's got a motor, we've got your man. If there was ever a time you needed an automotive expert like Leon Kaplan at your side, it's now. The Motor Man. Sunday mornings at 8 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Baby, when I'm all grown up.
Welcome back to On the Couch with Dr. Leanna and Margaret. This is a show about your psychology, and tonight we are talking all about the problem of procrastination. We all know this word. We all do it. Up to 90% of the population procrastinates on a somewhat regular basis, but it can become debilitating for 20% of the population, chronic procrastination. And although there are myths out there supporting the idea that we do our best and most creative work when under the gun, we actually don't have any evidence that corroborates or supports those findings. We see that when people truly suffer with chronic procrastination, it inhibits creativity, that anxiety and stress don't help us do our best work. And we know that when we take time to plan things out and put small pieces of work towards a larger goal over time, it frees up space to bring our best foot forward. Chronic procrastination leads to anxiety, to shame, to stress, to low self-esteem, to more worry, and can impact our ability to achieve lives that feel most fulfilling and accomplished. So why do we do that? That's what Margaret Imhoff, trained psychotherapist, and myself, Dr. Leanna Jurgulis, I'm a licensed clinical psychologist, are talking about tonight, all of the reasons that we tend to procrastinate. And you might be surprised to learn that underneath a lot of procrastination is anxiety, is fear of failure, is fear of rejection. Mm-hmm. A lot of procrastination stems from the belief that we're not going to do something well or it's going to be too difficult. And also, we see that it might be, for some people, just a matter of the pleasure principle, which just says that we seek to do things that are more pleasurable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's an interesting way of looking at it, the more animalistic way of we're designed to seek pleasure and avoid pain and poisonous things and unpleasant things. I mean, that is true, and I think that's true for some people. Some people, I think, really, you know they have a paper due and it's important, but at the same time, their friends are like, hey, we're going to go play volleyball and, like, eat pizza. And they're like, well, that sounds cool.
Yeah, sounds more fun. That's yeah. Right. So there is something, we don't want to pathologize this or make this too abnormal. There is something that's consistent with how the inner workings of the human mind operate that gravitate us towards doing things that are more pleasurable.
Yeah, of course. We want to enjoy our lives. And a lot of times, too, I think we work really hard. And, you know, we know when we go home, we should do our taxes and clean the house and do all these things. We procrastinate. But really, sometimes it feels like, well, if I'm working so hard... Of course, I never feel this way. Sometimes it's like, you know,
of course not.
If I'm working so hard, what's the point of I'm not enjoying my life if I'm going to come home and just clean and then go to sleep and go back to work and then clean again? Like, I want to go do something fun. And yeah, maybe the cleaning won't get done.
And yes, and that thought right there is what often traps people into procrastinating more.
Oh, no.
Yes, is that. So if those are some of the things you say to yourself, that could very much be prolonging your procrastination problem. And you stay tuned, because at the end of the hour, we'll be talking more about what you can do to shift this around. Margaret, I'm curious about the types of tasks that you find yourself tending to procrastinate on.
I tend to procrastinate... It's interesting because procrastination, right, that you hit a point where procrastination is interesting because it's something you don't want to do. You know it's unpleasant. So for me, let's say I have to make a phone call about, you know, a credit card bill where I was charged incorrectly for something. Yeah. So I feel anxious about that and I don't want to do it, but it's not that big of a deal. So I don't take care of it for a while. And yes. Then this anxiety starts to build. Well, it's going to be my next billing statement and I'm going to get charged the interest on that and I'd better do something, or it's been too long. What if they don't remove it? I only have a certain amount of time to dispute it. And then right before the deadline of disputing it, this intense panic sets in.
Yes.
And I'm just drenched in adrenaline and compelled to call up and take care of this thing. And by that point, I'm just so stressed out. I don't really care what the result is anymore. So I'm protected from the disappointment I could potentially feel if I don't, you know, if I'm let down or don't get the result that I want.
That makes perfect sense.
But it's also a very uncomfortable 30 days leading
that
up to that moment.
That makes perfect sense. And so what it is I'm hearing anxiety.
Yeah.
Right? Anxiety that this task is going to be too overwhelming, that you're not going to have the resources to cope with it, that some unexpected catastrophic outcome is going to result from this.
Yeah, we're just going down the checklist of all,
of all of the things. And then it creates distress. And so we really see, I think, at the core of procrastination, it's a coping response.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us avoid discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really, in one piece of it, I think that's what it's about.
Well, yeah, in one way it does, but at the same time, it creates so much more discomfort.
Well,
it's really amazing.
It prolongs the pressure, and it prolongs the anxiety, and it prolongs the discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most important to think about is that the people who leave a mark or their stamp on society, or really influence their lives in a positive way, or they leave a creative mark, are driven, are focused,
mm-hmm.
and despite the struggle or despite the discomfort, they stay focused and they persist.
Yeah.
They keep going. So probably setting realistic expectations about the process and acknowledging that there's going to be discomfort, but not turning away from the discomfort.
Mm-hmm. Being comfortable with being uncomfortable.
And don't we do that in so many ways?
Yeah, I think that's a big skill to have, because we're uncomfortable so much of the time, and we have to be uncomfortable every time we try something new or want to grow. And if you can't you know, tolerate discomfort. I mean, that's a whole other show, tolerating discomfort.
Yes.
It's hard to make positive changes, even if you know what you're doing is the thing that's best for you.
And we have to learn how to practice tolerating discomfort. We talk about that a lot on this show. And we're going to be talking to you, the listener, about how you can do that as well. But some other reasons why we procrastinate. So we've talked about perfectionism and a fear of failure and a fear of a task being so unpleasant or overwhelming. But you may not know that you may have learned to procrastinate from role models. Mm-hmm. Your parents or siblings or other important people in your life may have shown you that it's commonplace to just put things off and wait until there's a deadline or a catastrophe in order to do that. And then we start to normalize that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it can go either way. In some ways, you know, there's some ways of looking at it where procrastination or the tendency to procrastinate is really based on, you know, how you're born and your personality. And I think that's true for some people, but I think for the majority of people, it is a habit that's learned either through example or through, you know, just that's how you sort of started coping and it kind of worked for you, so we kept doing it. I mean, again, 90% of people procrastinate in some way at some time, at least occasionally. So it is more normal to procrastinate sometimes than not procrastinate.
It is. I agree. And then another reason is that we all have these biases against certain types of tasks, mm-hmm. right? Some people look at a task that might seem difficult and view it favorably, going to the gym or, mm-hmm. you know, training
for a marathon.
You're
lucky on that one. Leanna actually likes working out.
As much as I'd like everyone to think I have an unlimited amount of self-discipline, it is true that I seek enjoyment from it, so it doesn't seem too hard. But I'll tell you what does seem hard for me, Margaret.
What?
Opening my mail.
Oh, yeah.
Opening my mail. It's so ridiculous, and I know, what am I possibly going to get in the mail that's so awful? And I think that's what it is.
Well, something unpleasant, right? Like a bill, a parking ticket. Mm. I still feel bad about a parking ticket. We got together that I was going to pay and I forgot.
Yes, that's okay, Margaret.
I just want you to know I still feel terrible about that. So I've been suffering.
Some dinner or something.
That'll
be totally okay.
And then I lost it and I couldn't pay
it. Well, that's it. And that's another reason for procrastination is disorganization. So we end up making tasks more challenging for ourselves when we lose paper and we don't know where things are and we don't know what numbers to call or what we were supposed to do. And procrastination in that way ends up making things harder because if you just took care of something as soon as it came up, mm-hmm. it's fresh in your memory. You have that information right there. But if you write it down or write a note that you need to contact your health insurance back in 2 weeks to do this and go on, then the chances that of you remembering exactly what steps to take and what numbers to call become more and more diminished.
Or then you end up with a pile of notes, or then you lose the note, and it can get really messy really fast.
It's so true. So organization, and we're going to be teaching you more about how to pay attention to what your causes of procrastination are. We want you to start noting things like when you do procrastinate, what do they tend to be on? Because mm-hmm. as we're just saying, people have certain biases to tasks. Some people might think, I can do this, but not this. This is so hard. So the more we get caught up in that thinking, the harder it is to shift it around. And what we want to do is challenge ourselves to open our minds and prove our biases wrong, mm-hmm. right? So we kind of take on these tasks and do it mindfully and observe if what we're predicting or concluding about the task actually turns out to be true.
And it can make a big difference. I mean, even just talking about those two phone calls I've been procrastinating. Now that I'm actually getting out of my head and sharing about it, I'm like, you know, why don't I just make those calls? It's not that big of a deal.
Right. So much of this is about shifting our thought processes around and taking note that the predictions we're making, like, I won't be able to do this. It's going to be too hard. It's going to be so unpleasant.
My house will burn down.
Yes. We tell ourselves all these kind of absurd things that aren't true that very much influence the role of procrastination in our lives. The last thing before we go to break I'd like to say is that we also have a tendency, some of us, to have time estimates that are a little bit off. Like some of us are just naturally good at knowing how long it takes to do things, mm-hmm. but others of us, and I'm going to include myself in this, tend to vastly underestimate how long it will take to complete a task at hand. And so if we tend to underestimate that, we set these unrealistic expectations about what's kind of involved, and we go, oh, it only take this much time, and then we end up creating much more stress and anxiety and start to feel more like a failure.
Yeah. Or you can be like me and overestimate, and then you're just always waiting for everyone and feeling alone.
Overestimating time is not a horrible thing to do.
But you know, this life is so complicated, too. Things probably only should hypothetically take 20 minutes, but then with all the interruptions now, they take 45 minutes. That's a different show.
And yes, and traffic gets worse, and then like every like year you have to like tack on.
Another
I don't know. There has
minutes.
To be a formula out there for that. Lastly, we also know that anxiety and depression can very much influence procrastination. The more anxiety, the more fear, the more avoidance that goes along with that. And depression, we know that attention and concentration, as well as reductions in motivation, tend to be a very prominent symptoms that occur with depression that can also exacerbate procrastination. Anxiety and depression don't have to be the cause of procrastination, but can certainly exacerbate. When we come back, we're going to be taking a call with somebody who can't beat their procrastination problem and more on the steps that you can take to shift these patterns around coming up on the next hour of On the Couch.
Where do you get the best soul food in town? I mean the best. I mean licking your plate clean, licking your fingers off. It's Doolin's on Crenshaw. Doolin's on Crenshaw, just south of Stocker. This is exquisite. This is Southern cooking at its very best. Southern cooking is the essence of home cooking. It's the essence of comfort food. It's the essence of patting your tummy and going, that was good, especially when you eat the mouth-watering fried chicken. Their fried chicken is something to dream about. It is just perfect. The skin, the crust, the spices, the herbs. God, it's good. The chicken inside is so moist. It's wonderful. Try the oxtails, the short ribs, the macaroni and cheese. It's for all your catering needs, for all your dining needs. They have their own catering hall. They will come to your house and set everything up. They will feed you so well. This is food you dream about. Doolin's on Crenshaw. And by the way, excellent customer service. The people at the counter are the best. At Doolin's on Crenshaw, just south of Stocker.
Cars, trucks, motorcycles. If it's got a motor, we've got your man. If there was ever a time you needed an automotive expert like Leon Kaplan at your side, it's now. The Motor Man. Sunday mornings at 8 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to On the Couch with Dr. Leanna and Margaret. This is a show about understanding your own psychology and the things that get in the way of you living your happiest and healthiest life. I am a licensed clinical psychologist and founder of Coast Psychological Services, and Margaret Imhoff is a trained psychotherapist. Tonight, we are talking about people who struggle with chronic procrastination. We all struggle with procrastination. It is a normal human behavior. 90% of the population procrastinates on a somewhat regular basis. However, 20% of the population can be classified as chronic procrastinators. And when this happens, it can interfere with your life, with your happiness, and it can create more anxiety, more stress, more feelings of guilt and shame, and feeling less of a sense of agency or confidence in your own life. And as a result of all of this, your life might not be the most fulfilling or most consistent with what you value. We've been taking a look at why we procrastinate, what we do. We've talked about things like anxiety and depression and fear of failure and perfectionism. We've talked about role models in your life who procrastinate. We've talked about the distress that comes up or viewing a task as very unpleasant and procrastination as a coping mechanism that helps you avoid the discomfort around this. We're going to be talking now about what we can do to shift these patterns around. But first, we have a caller on the line tonight. Sylvia, are you there?
I am.
Hi there, Sylvia. Welcome to On the Couch.
Thank you so much for answering my call. And also, I've got to say, I love your show. And I really, you two have helped me. So I hope you can help me again.
Absolutely.
I have a real problem with procrastination. It's been a lifelong problem. I can remember it when I was a child. It's a family problem. I mean, my sister bought a book on procrastination, and it sat on her office desk for a year before she threw it away. So, I mean,
That's a great story, by the way.
Thank you. But it's a true story.
Yes, yes.
And that's what's really scary. And
yes.
I personally have struggled with procrastination, and it just keeps you in a constant state of stress. And I'm not a person who loves living in chaos, so that's really hard for me. And the second thing it does is it kind of creates a domino effect in my life. I procrastinate by doing the most important thing, and then I never get to the second most important thing, or the third, or the fourth. So it's kind of like everything goes down.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that, Sylvia. I really appreciate your struggle. And I think that people deal with this more frequently than what we're talking about. And I know those feelings of how debilitating it can be, and then frustrating, because I'm hearing that you clearly know that this has impacted your life, but yet it feels so difficult for you to change.
Overwhelming, and just overwhelming.
So tell me, I'm curious to know, and as we're going to be talking about on the rest of the show tonight, we want to begin, the first step in dealing with procrastination is really beginning to recognize what your trigger points are, the types of things that you procrastinate on, and what some of the underlying fears or belief systems are around that. So let's start there for a moment, Sylvia. What types of tasks do you tend to procrastinate the most on?
Unpleasant telephone calls or paying bills that I know I'm having trouble, you know, I've got to straighten something out with. I feel like I am a pretty decent writer, but whenever I have to write a report or anything that's serious, I really procrastinate a lot on that. And that's something that I don't know why. I know I can do it, and I usually get, you know, praised, but I still don't want to.
Yes. So making phone calls that might be unpleasant, writing something, sitting down and sort of putting forth a focus and a concentration toward your writing. Anything else?
It's like I'm everyone else. It's like I had the same New Year's resolutions for, I guess, like 10 years. And they were always stop swearing, lose weight, and play the violin. I never did any of them. So finally, I just stopped having them. When it comes to doing personal things for me, I've always got something that's more important. I can always flip that off. Losing weight, going for a walk. I have to struggle to brush my teeth. So it's just like
anything that feels like it might be overwhelming. Well, Allison, what I'm going to encourage you to do is to reflect a little bit more on what comes up for you when you start thinking about some of these tasks. So I would write out a list of maybe three or four things, some of the things that you just told me, that you tend to procrastinate on as the first step. And then I would encourage you, and you can either do this in the moment when you're procrastinating on these things or after the fact and take some time to reflect. And I'd like you then in the next sort of column over to write down some of the thoughts or the feelings that get activated for you when you think about doing those tasks.
That's really interesting.
Yes.
That's really interesting.
It's going to take a little investigation. It might be a bit different. The phone call might yield a fear of interaction or disapproval or rejection. Writing might be due to thinking that it has to be something great or amazing or very profound. Brushing your teeth might be viewed as something that's just boring and unpleasant. And before we can get into the antidotes of how to navigate this, we first need to know what fear or what type of discomfort it's activating. So do you struggle with issues of perfectionism?
It's amazing that, you know, it's like this is a problem all my life. And you hit on two things that really jumped out at me. And I think my fear is always getting in trouble and not doing a good job and getting in trouble for that. Mm. I really fear getting in trouble. Mm. And not getting in trouble for, you know, getting in trouble for not brushing my teeth. I mean, I that really hit me. And also, I do know that I am vain with my writing, and I like it to be perfect. And I have to admit, if other people don't appreciate it, I feel not so happy.
Yes.
But those things you hit right on the head. And I never thought of them until you started talking about making the columns. And the first thing that hit my mind was, you're afraid to get in trouble. That's amazing.
Isn't that something? So
that
ties in with the perfectionism, because mm-hmm. you were probably taught earlier in your life that in order to get acknowledgement or validation or love or support, this is all just a guess, but mm-hmm. that you had to do something in a certain way, and it had to adhere to precisely this maybe perfectionistic way of doing something, and that if you don't achieve that, there's going to be some sort of a rejection or disapproval or loss or conflict is what it sounds like.
I never thought of it that way. I just thought, you know, you're being lazy, you're not being disciplined, whatever. But I never realized that it was really kind of a feelings thing, a heart thing, an emotional thing. It was always, to me, just a mechanical thing. You know, you're not getting off your rear and doing this.
Yes, a lot of people think that, Sylvia, that they're being weak, that they're being lazy. And a lot of people come into therapy holding on to those beliefs and feeling really bad and then tend to beat themselves up. But I want to remind you to talk to yourself kindly and compassionately. And we say that a lot in therapy because we know that beating ourselves up and being really harsh on ourselves usually inhibits us from being able to make the changes that we want to make. So I'm going to encourage you to investigate your experience and speak very kindly and watch yourself, observe yourself and what comes up and what happens as you think about making these calls or as you think about sitting down to write. And then what we want you to do is to start shifting your thinking around and making your predictions more consistent with what's likely to happen. And we also mm-hmm. maybe want to look at setting smaller goals and thinking about the process and smaller steps that are less overwhelming and really Absolutely. Reframing your thoughts about the need to be perfect and really moving them more toward the need is just to get a little bit of this done in the best way that you know how and that you're good enough at it.
I think you've hit on something. Also, I love your show because you give really concrete things to do. It's like, oh, you do this and you do that, and it's like, well, it's all flying around. But making that list with those columns, I can say, you know, how are you feeling, and then what can you do about it, and what's your new thinking on it? What's the kind thought? That might be really, really interesting for me.
I think that sounds great. And I'm going to encourage you, Sylvia, we have to wrap up the phone call, unfortunately, but I'm going to encourage you to listen to the rest of the segment because we're going to be talking more about some of these tips.
I'm glued. And also, I want to thank you so much for the personal attention and tell you while I've got the chance, I love your music.
thanks so much, Sylvia.
We like callers like you. You make us feel good about ourselves. Have a great rest of your night.
You make us feel good, too. So
awesome.
Great.
Thanks, Sylvia. All right. Take care. So, Margaret, we see that's a classic example of procrastination. We see the anxiety. We see the fear of not being good enough. We see the fear of not doing something perfectly. And this really is what I tend to see the most of in my practice.
Yeah, that was really fascinating because we were able to see all the different types of procrastination, the different reasons we procrastinate. And so it's not necessarily so simple to say, this is the one reason, singular, that I procrastinate. It can be so different based on the task or how we grew up or how we were raised or an experience we had. It's really interesting.
Which is why, why we go back to procrastination as a coping mechanism. And we know that coping mechanisms are so incredibly difficult to change because they are deep-rooted. They go back to our childhoods. There are strategies we've developed. You know, Sylvia said that she started this when she was a child.
Yeah.
These things usually do go back to our childhoods and they become deeply ingrained and they start to wire our neural pathways and how we think about things. And changing any coping strategy, whether it's anger and aggression or avoidance or procrastination or rumination and worry, it's about restructuring your neural pathways, and it takes work to focus on changing these patterns around. We're going to be talking more in the next segment about what you can do to work on your chronic procrastination. Stay tuned. You've been listening to On the Couch.
Where do you get the best soul food in town? I mean the best. I mean licking your plate clean, licking your fingers off. It's Doolin's on Crenshaw. Doolin's on Crenshaw, just south of Stocker. This is exquisite. This is Southern cooking at its very best. Southern cooking is the essence of home cooking. It's the essence of comfort food. It's the essence of patting your tummy and going, that was good, especially when you eat the mouth-watering fried chicken. Their fried chicken is something to dream about. It is just perfect. The skin, the crust, the spices, the herbs. God, it's good. The chicken inside is so moist. It's wonderful. Try the oxtails, the short ribs, the macaroni and cheese. Oh, it's for all your catering needs, for all your dining needs. They have their own catering hall in the back of the restaurant, behind the restaurant. They will come to your house and set everything up. They will feed you so well. This is food you dream about. Doolin's on Crenshaw. And by the way, excellent customer service. The people at the counter are the best. At Doolin's on Crenshaw, just south of Stocker.
Hey, y'all. This is Aaron Tippin. Being in the music business, traveling, working late, doesn't do great things for my routine. But I found that staying active and making time to work out helps keep my energy where it needs to be to perform my best. No matter what you do or where you are, make time to stay in shape. You'll feel better and have the energy you need to accomplish your goals. This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Cars, trucks, motorcycles. If it's got a motor, we've got your man. If there was ever a time you needed an automotive expert like Leon Kaplan at your side, it's now. The Motor Man. Sunday mornings at 8 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I keep ignoring fate. I put things off for a while.
Happy Friday evening to all of you out there. Welcome to On the Couch with Dr. Leanna and Margaret. I am a licensed clinical psychologist and founder of Coast Psychological Services, and Margaret Imhoff is a trained psychotherapist. We speak to you each week about a psychological concept that could be impacting your life. Tonight we've been speaking about procrastination. We all do it, but for some of us it creates chronic problems with low self-esteem, low self-confidence, shame, guilt, depression, and anxiety, and it impedes our performance. It gets in the way of our life. And we've been talking about the causes of procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
And really, we said it goes back to our childhood.
Freud would be so happy. It goes back to our moms.
So, yeah, like, oh, we listened to an hour to learn that it all goes back to our childhoods.
Shocking. It's a show about psychology.
What a surprise. No, it really does. And we've been saying that procrastination, really, at its core form, is a coping strategy mm-hmm. to help us cope with some sort of discomfort,
mm-hmm.
anxiety, fear of failure,
perfectionism, just not wanting to do something unpleasant or boring or
disapproval,
yeah.
rejection, conflict. And if you start paying attention, you will notice themes. And our caller, Sylvia, is going to start working on that right away, right?
Yes, definitely.
So a good starting point then for people to begin working on their procrastination, Margaret, mm-hmm. is...
Well, there's so many. The first one is that I like is perspective and not catastrophizing, which is, I know it's a bit of a mouthful, but you're basically not just assuming the situation's going to turn out really badly, which oftentimes we do. Earlier, I was talking about making a phone call that I've been procrastinating for about a month. And now that we're talking about it, I'm realizing I've been catastrophizing and thinking, oh, well, maybe this phone call won't go well and I'll be really disappointed. Wouldn't that just be the most horrible thing in the mm-hmm, world? Mm-hmm. I don't think I could survive that.
Yes.
But, you know, if I realize that and I get my perspective kind of back on track and I'm realistic, I can say, you know what, I've been disappointed many times in my life before and I'm still here and I'm okay. So I think if this one phone call doesn't go exactly the way that I envision, like ideally, I'll be okay.
Yes, and that you'll problem solve and that you'll be able to regulate those emotions
yeah.
as they come up. So what I'm hearing you say is being very careful about not underestimating your own ability to cope.
Yeah.
And That's actually a very common cognitive distortion that many of us engage in. We underestimate, like, oh, if this thing happens or that thing happens, I won't be okay, won't be able to cope.
Game over.
Yes, and that's just not true. And if you really don't believe that you have the coping skills to deal with life stressors, then that might not be a bad time to start therapy and learn some more effective tools for regulating emotion. And so changing your thinking patterns is at the key or the core of what I'm hearing you say.
And that was a great exercise you shared with Sylvia too, about changing our thinking patterns.
Well, and I think it starts with first knowing what those thinking patterns are that trap us. So we procrastinate for different reasons. Everybody has slightly different profiles. They all kind of go back to some of the same, the things we've been mentioning. But without knowing your particular mechanisms and fears and the thoughts that are involved with it, you can't make those changes. So the first step is really logging, keeping track of the things that you tend to procrastinate on the most, and then identifying the core fears that are associated or the core feelings that you're wanting to try and avoid.
That sounds great. And I think the key on that one would probably be don't procrastinate on logging. As soon as you start feeling that way or noticing you're procrastinating, start, you know, making that log right away.
Yes, I think that's really important. And then when you figure out what those thoughts or those fears are, we want to put them to the test. We want our thinking to be more accurate, more balanced with what we're actually doing. And you did a great job of shifting around your thinking, Margaret. Right.
Well, I hope so. I should know how to do that by now, right?
Yes. Well, right. And
doesn't always work, though.
Some other ways that we can shift our thinking around is telling ourselves that done is better than perfect, that we don't need to put our most amazing self forward in some massive way at any given moment in time, that we can do the best we can and break that down into smaller pieces and set more realistic expectations. We're better off setting smaller expectations than larger expectations.
Well, yeah, asking ourselves to create, you know, a masterpiece every time we do something, that's a high expectation. It's going to be hard to get motivated or even feel like that's possible. It's going to be hard to even start the task. And I like what you just said about breaking it down into smaller pieces, because sometimes something seems so big. It's like, oh, well, I have to move to another city. Oh my gosh, where do I begin? Well, I need to start looking for a place to live. I need to sell my car. And you can, if you break these things down, but even on smaller tasks, like if you have a desk job or something and there's a project you're working on, taking breaks is actually a great way too to break down the project into smaller tasks and to schedule in breaks. Studies actually show that we do need breaks to recharge our minds and refresh, and that we're able to concentrate better when we take more breaks. So as one who likes to take breaks, I was very happy to learn that research backs that up. It's not a misconception that, you know, we're supposed to just sit down and work straight through the whole day like a machine. And that's just not how humans are wired. And if you're doing that, you're probably actually not being as productive as you would be if you took little breaks and let your brain rest.
Thank you very much for saying that, because I think at the key of overcoming procrastination is time management. And I think that the more we're aware of what's been coined our power hours, right? So for some people, you might be a morning person, or for others, you might be a night owl. I'm curious, Margaret, if you know what your power hours are.
I think everyone that knows me knows my power hour is the morning, because I'm usually, you know, if we go out to dinner at 7 p.m., I'm like, why are we going out to dinner so late, guys?
Yes.
Like, I'm definitely a morning person. But I know so many people that aren't morning people.
And there's no right or wrong.
No.
I think it's just about paying enough attention to your own patterns and when you feel like you have the most inspiration. For some people, it's morning. For me, it's the morning as well. I've been reading this really fascinating book called How Artists Work. Hmm. And it's just a wonderful collection of various innovators and pioneers over the last 100 years, people like Benjamin Franklin, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Frederick Chopin, all these greats. And they talk a lot about their routine or their ritual. And they talk about how they have the most energy at certain times, and they've known how to capitalize on that energy. Mm. So we want to save that energy for things that are important and things that need to get done. And we know that facing something that we might not want to do does take more energy. So we're best off doing that at a time that sort of goes along with your rhythm throughout the day.
And that makes sense, right? You're working with yourself rather than trying to fight against yourself. You know, if you're a night person, and that's a genetic thing, they think now, by the way. They think there's specifically a gene that makes you a morning person or a night person. Mm. There are a lot of factors that can affect that, including, you know, depression or, you know, where you live and the weather. But for people that are true morning people and true night people, they're thinking now that there's some evidence that it is a genetic
I believe that.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I believe that. So knowing what that is and capitalizing on that, you want to complete your least pleasant tasks or the tasks that are most challenging and demand productive work at a time that you know works for you. So time management is important in this way because you do want to structure your days well, especially if you tend toward procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
Structure to your day and knowing when you're going to work on some of these tasks and carving out times into your calendar or your schedule where you do a little bit of this each day or a few times a week is going to be much, much better than trying to set aside this huge block of time, right?
Why are you looking at me like that, Leanna?
And you and I have been guilty of that too, Margaret, and we keep each other accountable. It's so easy to say, okay, well, like in 3 weeks when we have 8 hours of time and those 3 weeks never come, and oh my gosh, that 8 hours, that feels harder. That feels challenging. That demands a lot more concentrated
it's
mental
overwhelming.
Effort.
Yeah.
It is. So better time management, people. And if there's something you've been procrastinating on, like me, for instance, I procrastinate on checking my mail. I don't like to sit down and go through all this mail. I don't typically get good news. I'm still waiting for, Publisher Clearinghouse?
Yeah.
Maybe
you're going to miss that Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes, you know, million-dollar check in your mail.
Maybe around the holidays I get some cute cards. But yeah, so what I've had to do is I know that in the morning when I have the most energy, I carve out now 15 to 20 minutes every morning at the same time each day to knock it out. And it's so much easier than waiting for this big stack, right? To like 3 hours to go
looming
through this
over
stack
you.
And then to get everything at once. So to wrap up and to summarize, the key to overcoming procrastination, know what your triggers are, know the things that you procrastinate the most on, uncover and investigate what your core fear is or what about it that you're telling yourself that's making it seem more challenging. Find out when you have the most power and the most energy. Schedule small, concrete, manageable periods of time into your routine and work on these things one at a time. And be kind to yourself. No change ever happens without, one, investigating your own experience, and two, self-compassion that's motivating, inspiring. And keep your reasons of motivation close to your heart when you're starting to tackle what you need to. Staying motivated and reminding yourself regularly is really important. We appreciate you joining us here on the couch. To join our online community or provide us with questions or topics you want to hear about, please visit us at facebook.com/onthecouchnow. We're here every Friday at midnight. Stay tuned. We'll talk with you next week, same time, same place.
This show furnished by Coast Psychological Services.
Where do you get the best soul food in town? I mean the best. I mean licking your plate clean, licking your fingers off. It's Doolin's on Crenshaw. Doolin's on Crenshaw, just south of Stocker. This is exquisite. This is Southern cooking at its very best. Southern cooking is the essence of home cooking. It's the essence of comfort food. It's the essence of patting your tummy and going, that was good, especially when you eat the mouth-watering fried chicken. Their fried chicken is something to dream about. It is just perfect. The skin, the crust, the spices, the herbs. God, it's good. The chicken inside is so moist. It's wonderful. Try the oxtails, the short ribs, the macaroni and cheese. It's for all your catering needs, for all your dining needs. They have their own catering hall. They will come to your house and set everything up. They will feed you so well. This is food you dream about. Doolin's on Crenshaw. And by the way, excellent customer service. The people at the counter are the best at Doolin's on Crenshaw.